Carpaccio,
sell.
Carpaccio,
sell.
Carpaccio,
sell.
Carpaccio,
sell.
Carpaccio,
sell.
Carpaccio
on WGR.
Live from St. John Fisher, Jeremy and Joe. Good morning, everyone. Joe's over here checking if the Bills have scored a touchdown from every yardage in their franchise history.
It's like my own version of Bills score origami.
Yeah.
I think I'm not fully done. I think the Bills have scored a touchdown from every yardage inside of 64 yards.
Okay.
All right.
But almost like they've not scored from 99, 97, 96, 94, 93.
I'm actually
like there's a game. There's like a little betting game, I think, to be played
I
here.
I find that quite amazing. I would have thought with interception returns, punt returns, kickoff returns, you'd have those, like, almost everything covered.
And this does include defensive and punt return. Like, there's the Deontay Hardy touchdown against the Dolphins. So, yeah, there's a few yardages up high that they've never scored.
All right, someone give that list to Josh Allen for the season. Let's knock them all off. Let's get them.
I actually think this is, like, really – this is a good note for, like, Bills PR, if they even know. I'm like, you know, if you get one during the year, you can literally write out, that's the first ever touchdown of blank yards in Bills history.
Actually, let me see if I can find, because they would have touchdowns above 100, right?
Yes.
From kick returns.
100%, yes.
That's where 99 still being in play.
Right. I was going to bring that up. Like, you could actually go, you need to go to, like, 109.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're live at St. John Fisher. We got they're blowing some
water. Are they mowing the lawn?
No, they're blowing water off the pavement. I mean, it rained a good amount for a lengthy period of time. Looks like it's going to clear up for practice today.
Yep.
Sal Capaccio is with us for the latest on what's going on here at St. John Fisher, the Maxwell Harrison injury. Mm. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University, brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. All right, Sal, so we got good news, relatively good news, on Maxwell Harrison injury. Not as bad as it could have been. And Ian Rappaport's reporting a three-week timeline. You're saying a little bit more of like, no timeline on this.
Sure.
But sprained LCL.
Yeah, so what was first reported by Jordan Schultz, Ian Rappaport, and Mike Garafolo, I hope I get all them correct, who were the first, because you want to make sure you put that out there, that they were the first to report it, I can say is accurate and correct. It is the ACL is intact. He has a sprained LCL. The timeline that Ian put on it, I would say the Bills don't put timelines on injuries. That's what he's reporting. He could very well be back in 3 weeks. I'm not saying he's wrong. I mean, I would trust Ian Rappaport, you know, could be more accurate than not in this scenario. But I am saying that the Bills generally don't put timelines on injuries because there's no reason to do that. Like, Sean McDermott doesn't like to paint himself into a corner for that. If you say 3 weeks and the guy isn't on the field in 3 weeks now, what happened? Did he have bad rehab? Did he something go wrong? If you say 3 weeks, he's back in two. Why didn't you know he would be back a little bit sooner?
Right,
so
right.
You just don't do that. You let them come along at their own pace. Anything can happen over the next few weeks. But we will hear from Sean McDermott tomorrow before the open practice, return of the blue and the red. Terms he usually uses, week to week, he'll be out a little while, something like that, right? I mean, those are things, those are keywords that we'll be listening for, but I can tell you that it is, considering what we thought it could be, considering what it looked like it could be, all things considered, I think this is the best news possible.
Yeah, it would be. It kind of gives an answer to Hairston's post himself from Instagram, you know, thank you, God, like feeling like he dodged a bullet there. Like
No doubt.
He got away from a potential really bad ACL injury.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody, this is what we do. We live in this society where guys have their own platforms and social media, and we try to decipher everything they're writing, and I learned a long time ago not to do that. It can mean something. It generally doesn't a lot of times, whereas could be something about their own family and relationships, and you take it as it's something about football. So you have to be careful with that. So there was a lot of speculating going on, and now we know, though, that Max Harrison is going to be out a little bit. He's going to be out a few weeks here. Now the question is, if he's back in time, healthy enough to play before, you know, the opener, and let's just even say a week before the opener. Let's just give that. Let's just say 3 weeks. Say it's Ian Rappaport's right. 3 weeks takes us to, what, the 20th, 21st, right, of August? That's plenty of time before the opener. The opener isn't until September 7th.
Right.
Question is he a healthy and active, or is he active? Because I can't really see any scenario where he's starting week one, given this scenario, right? I mean, this is Trey White's job, and, you know, so is he even a healthy player on the roster, or would they healthy scratch him at that point? These are things down the road, but I think you have to start thinking about, like, what does that first part of the season look like for him now?
Yeah, does it almost remind you a little bit of Cole Bishop last year, where you missed some time, and it's really hard for a rookie, especially early in the season, to carve out a role playing? I mean, maybe he can work his way into even – maybe they would do a rotation at some point, Sal. But it feels like right now that if Tre'Davious White doesn't misstep and they stay healthy at that position, that, you know, Hairston, it's good that he's going to be available at some point during the season. But I'm not thinking about him much for making an impact now, really almost up to the bye week. Like, again, injuries can happen to other guys, and he could get in, but they have a week 7 bye. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about week 8 as, like, if Trey White looks pretty good, but maybe you think you could get a little better, that would be maybe enough time for Hairston to really feel more comfortable getting into a starting role.
Yeah, and he would have to really beat out Trey, and I would say that's going to be tough to do. I think Tre'Davious White's been good. Mm-hmm. There's two parts to this, right, which is if you get your first-round cornerback and he's healthy to play, he might look good. Is he good enough to be on the field over Tre'Davious White is the second question. And right now, I think Tre'Davious White has looked really good out here. He's been the better player, I think, out here between the two. Not that Max has done anything wrong, but Trey's set the bar pretty high here, I think, to clear for him. And then the other part is, I think they feel good about the depth they have at the position. They did bring back Dane Jackson. They drafted Dorian Strong. They still have Jamarcus Ingram. Like, this isn't a position, I think, where they're like, oh, my God, we got to go out. We got to get these guys. Matt Bove brought up Rasul Douglas to me on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. I don't think that's something they would invest in right now and do. That's something I think you do if you get down to, okay, like, what we're scrambling here. We got to have someone to come in and play right away who knows our system. They don't need that right now. They have Tre'Davious White. Dane Jackson knows the system. Jamarcus Ingram's been around. Mm-hmm. Dorian Strong is coming along. I don't think you have to go out and hit that button yet.
You know, as we're talking about injuries, Sal, I'm thinking today would be a nice day for that list to shorten up a bit. They had an off day because the list was long, and Hairston happens, and then Cole Bishop and Ty Johnson leave and come back, and sometimes the guy leaves and comes back and is on the injury report by the time the next practice rolls around. So it's been a camp with a lot of smallish injuries, and I don't know. I feel like the Bills would like to see that number drop quite a bit.
No doubt about it, and we'll see if we get any guys back here today off the injured list, as you said. Couple of guys were heat-related issues, so hopefully today, a cooler day. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get a couple guys back, right? Then you have guys like Dawson Knox, who's been working his way to get back. But I think it's a wet field. Are you putting Dawson Knox out there after having a hamstring injury, and it's a wet field, and, you know, is now the right time? He's a veteran. Can you wait until Monday when they come back after the Loon Red? He's not going to make his debut, I wouldn't think, in that, but who knows, right? Those are things that I think you have to start thinking about. Alec Anderson had a knee injury. He missed the other day. But he was out there with the team. He was walking around. I think that's always an encouraging sign. I'm still very much on what is going on with Spencer Brown alert.
Yeah.
And what is going on with Cedric Van Pran Granger alert. We haven't seen either of them.
No.
I've seen Spencer Brown out there. I haven't seen Cedric. I'm not saying he hasn't been out there. I haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Spencer's been walking around a little bit. I saw him one day with street clothes. But these are two offensive linemen who haven't played yet. And the other guys, Tyrell Shavers, we know he's going to come back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Samuels dealt with something. Elijah Moore's dealt with something. Caden Prather. These are guys you're going to get back. I mean, at some point you're going to get back. You know that. Right? So, yeah, it would be nice. And look, I mean, let's tie this back into the Max Hairston discussion. Look what happened last year with Cole Bishop just missing some time.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a rookie and you're missing some time in the preseason, I mean, you're really far behind. For a rookie, it's exponential time you miss. If Dawson Knox misses 2 weeks, he comes back on the field and plays.
Yeah.
If Max Hairston, or last year, Cole Bishop, misses 2 to 3 weeks, you can say he's basically like 6 weeks behind. How do you make that up?
Yeah.
You don't, because you have to get out there. You have the knowledge of the defense, the physical play to get, you know, of the NFL, everything that goes into it.
And that how worried should we be about that? Because I'm a little bit you know, reasons versus excuses. Like, it's definitely a reason that Bishop is behind the eight ball when it comes to trying to come back and be a part of this offense. And, you know, Sal, you can even bring this not just preseason and training camp, but in season. Keon Coleman said that when he got hurt and went out, the offense kind of changed a bit, and he had trouble finding his way back into it.
Yeah,
so like
that's right.
Missing time at any point for a young player, it's not like you're going to get phased out of the organization's plans, but it really does like change the charting of what happens in your rookie year.
The NFL stops for no one, yeah. Right? They're not going to – well, maybe unless you're Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, right? You get my point, though. Like, the team has to play. They have to play games. They have to prepare. And when people say next man up, it doesn't just mean the next guy's got to step in and do a great job. Yes, like, you got to step up. Next man up means, like, we got to prepare. Like, we have a game. We can't wait for you. Like, we're not stopping our next game because we got a guy who's not going to be here and, oh, he's got to take a little bit of time. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you in this league. So guess what? We're going to plan for this game. We're going to plan for that game. And as we go, if things are changing, well, guess what? You're missing that. That's unfortunate. We're not going to tailor everything around a guy who's sitting, who's you know, an IR, who's coming back a little bit later. We got to do what we got to do. And that's exactly right when it comes to how Keon Coleman came back, which is a great anecdote, Jeremy, that you just brought up about why Brandon Bean said what he said at the end of the year about Keon Coleman. He just wasn't the same player. Now, think about what Keon Coleman said. Like, yeah, I mean, it was tougher for me to come back and figure that part out. It wasn't just recovering from the injury, which that's also a piece of it. Recovering from an injury for a young player who's never been really hurt in their career, who's been the best player at the high school or college level or whatever, they're not used to that. They don't understand what goes into that. Like, there's a lot that goes into, you know, coming back from it. And we all know the Bills made a change in strength and conditioning coach, right? They have a new head strength and conditioning coach. I'm not sitting here blaming anybody, but I think the Bills also need a new approach about those kinds of things and fresh ideas, as Sean McDermott has said. It's an organization. You have to think about everything that goes and baked into all this.
Sal Capaccio with us. Sal, we talked some injuries there, and through a week of camp, is there any position that you think is that you're thinking differently about who will make the team compared to when we came into training camp?
Who will make the team? So bottom of the roster?
Yeah, because even like we talked about receiver there and how like Curtis Samuel's been out and Elijah Moore's been in and out, but there's no real expectation, I think, right now that receiver's any different than we thought it would be. The tight ends. Dawson Knox has been hurt and Kincaid's hurt, but nobody thinks tight end will be different. Maybe there's something on defense?
I wonder on the offensive line what happens considering Cedric Van Pringranger's been out. Alec Anderson is no longer needed as an extra offensive lineman, and he also can play center.
Right.
Right? Does that do anything to Cedric Van Pringranger's status on the roster? Mm-hmm. And then you have, because Spencer's been out, I've seen Ryan Vandermark in there with Tylon Grable rotating, right?
Yep.
Like, I wonder at the bottom end of that, are we looking at maybe where is Cedric Van Pringranger's spot ultimately? Where I thought that Tylon Grable could push Ryan Vandermark off the roster, and you have Chase Lunt coming up, maybe Ryan Vandermark now becomes actually, hey, no, he's a really important piece of what we need here. How does that all look in the offensive line? And I think Alec Anderson's a key for all of this because you have Jackson Hawes now. Jackson Hawes is, to me, your sixth offensive lineman. He's a tight end. You can throw him a pass. Mm-hmm. Alec Anderson now can kind of fight for a swing spot. He can fight for a reserve spot where maybe you can play with the offensive line a little bit on who can make make it. And if you're not on the field, it's going to be tougher for you.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe if Anderson can give them more versatility on the inside.
Right.
Are you almost saying they could think about keeping an extra tackle just to kind of protect themselves if Spencer Brown is dealing with something that goes into the season?
I'm saying they could keep an extra interior guy, but maybe you are forced to keep an extra tackle. Maybe you're forced to keep an extra tackle. Maybe you could keep an interior guy because you don't need him as an extra offensive lineman. He can actually be a regular interior guy.
Right.
Alec Anderson is what I'm saying, right?
Right. And
this is a Cedric Van Pringranger point for me. Like, if I don't see Cedric Van Pringranger out on the field, like, at some point, does he go on a list? Does he not make the
right.
team?
Yeah. When are they open to do that? Like, when? Because I think if they put a guy in IR right now, that's
he's out for
right?
the year.
So they wouldn't want to do that.
Correct.
But when, I guess, when in the calendar can they start, you know, playing around with, like, oh, we could put him on this, but he could come back
later.
That's
a good question. So here's how it's going to work. On the final day of cuts, so the last day where everybody says they have to make the final roster, right?
Yeah.
On that day, they can put two guys on injured reserve who can still come back 4 weeks later if you want, or they can stay out as long as you want. But that's that IR to return designation. You don't and they're going to immediately count against their IR to return numbers, but they don't have to come back necessarily. But they can put those two guys there. It used to be where you had to make the 53, then you got to put an IR. You don't have to do that. So you can do it that time. You can put up to two guys on there. Otherwise, Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi are going to go on a suspended list. And then everybody else, if you're released, if you're less than 4 years in the league, you're waivers. If you're more than 4 years, you're a free agent. So let's take Cedric Van-Pran Granger. He gets to that point. He's like, look, we think he's going to play. He's not ready yet.
Yeah.
If you waive him, anybody can claim him. I mean, he hasn't been in the league 4 years. Or you can put him on IR, and then he has a chance to come back. Let's hope it doesn't get to that, but those are the options for a guy like that.
Is safety at all behind Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp? Is that changing at all, in your opinion, for who is maybe in line right now to make the team? I'm thinking about Hamlin for this. Like, Hamlin, I don't know, I always see him interacting with guys out there, like whether it's the young guys or it's coaching. And, of course, he could do special teams as well. And then there's rookies, obviously, that are competing there. There's Cam Lewis. I don't know. What does safety look like to you right now, or is it still a huge question mark behind Bishop and Taylor Rapp?
I have long believed, like, my prediction going into camp was that Derek Forrest would be the fourth safety and DeMar Hamlin would not be on the team. But the way that you get DeMar Hamlin on the team, because I could see it, would be Cam Lewis and Jordan Hancock are both are kind of guys that you don't necessarily rely on to be your fourth safety. They can do a lot of different things for you. They can be versatile. One can play special teams. One can be a nickel. I still think it's going to be tough for numbers. I think it's DeMar Hamlin and Derek Forrest could be fighting for a spot. And the reason I say that is because I just can't see Cam Lewis not on this team. Brandon Bean loves him. Yeah. He thinks he's – Brandon Bean will tell you, the guy could start for a lot of teams as a nickel corner. Mm-hmm. Why would you get rid of a really, really terrific backup nickel corner?
Right.
When he can be on your team. And he's been here for 7 years now. He plays all your special teams. The fly in the ointment is Jordan Hancock. Jordan Hancock, because he can play safety, he can play nickel corner, that squeezes one of those numbers. And it's going to be interesting to see how it washes out.
And the Bills love their position flexibility. It's kind of a way to make a 53-man roster kind of like a 57-man because
that's right.
Guys play
two different
spots.
And that's where you're kind of getting to, like, maybe that is what hurts Hamlin and Forrest to both making the team, because those guys are not going to ever play nickel corner for you, or they'll play special teams.
That's
but
right.
They're not going to move around the defense the way that the other two guys you mentioned are.
Yeah, for sure. I think Derek Forrest was brought here to really help on special teams, and because he played for a Ron Rivera defense, he has a base knowledge of the system, and he can play. I've thought that he would be over DeMar Hamlin. I think DeMar's made a few plays out here, and I think DeMar is still in the mix here, okay? That said, I just don't know how you make all the numbers work with everyone. This might just come down to preseason and you know, who makes plays and who doesn't. I mean, it's the back end of the roster. You got to make a play or two.
Right.
Sal Capaccio here ahead of training camp practice.
One guy I want to bring up, we haven't seen and we need to see him soon, is Tyler Bass. He has had a pelvic injury.
Pelvic injury, right, yeah.
And now the good news is they have not gone out and got a kicker.
Yeah.
All right, so they're just not even doing, like, kicking in these segments. But at some point, you got to see your kicker out there kicking some footballs, I think, right? So I would hope that would happen soon, too.
Right. And they are...
He was out there earlier in the year.
And there's no competitive reason
for
to think
days.
That they would bring another guy in, right?
Like, no, I mean,
he
I
very
don't
much
so.
Reasserted himself second half
oh,
of last
yeah,
year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, yeah. They Joe, they never even, I guess during, like, rookie camp, of course, but
yeah,
they never even had, like, two kickers on the roster after, like,
which is that speaks to, I guess, where how far he came in the second half of last year. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I mean, they had a kicker on the team during the regular season last year, or excuse me, they had a kicker on the practice squad, right? They had a second kicker during, you know, the time right before the trade deadline, and then he hits the 61 yarder against Miami, and that's kind of it. But sure, right? Like, if he's, you know, they would need a guy to kick even in the preseason. Right, if he's dealing with anything, so
They would
unless they just have a punter kick in the preseason or something.
Yeah, the other thing is, you want your operation right. Like, I know it's fun to talk about, like, you have a kicking competition, a punting competition.
Yeah,
bring somebody in. You want your operation to be buttoned up, and the more guys you bring in there, the less time that is to have the operation buttoned up. Mm-hmm. Right, that's more guys. That's whether it's a long snapper, a kicker, or a punter. All those guys are the long snapper, the holder, the punter, the kicker, and when you do that, you're taking time away from other guys. So the quicker you can get to, these are our three guys, the better it is, which is, I think, a reason why, you know, Camarda was let go. But, look, there was a numbers crunch there, and they had to do something at a roster. But, again, maybe one of the easier spots is we'll release the punter right. instead of somebody else, even though we like him and we're not sold on necessarily Brad Robbins being the number one guy. So I do think it's interesting. I'm also going to be watching as we go through, like, tomorrow's going to be a day for this, and then into next week. You guys know, like, I'm the number one, like, Brandon Codrington truther out here.
Yeah.
Like, I've been – how many months are we going on when I'm telling you Brandon Codrington's the punt returner?
Right.
Right? And I'd still be shocked if he's not. And I haven't seen anything different out here that tells me otherwise. I'll say that.
Right.
But I still want to see, like, how are they handling this?
Right.
You and could that talk, could be that you could get some clues from Chris Tabor on this when you have him on.
Yeah. We'll try.
Yeah.
Chris Tabor, special teams coordinator, coming up at 9:15. You got a pick tonight, Chargers, Lions?
Ooh.
Who do you like? Joe's guy, Trey Lance, is starting for the Chargers.
Well, let's see. The Chargers are coming all the way from the West Coast to go to Canton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
It's tough, but it is a night game.
Which coach is going to care more about winning and like getting off on the right foot?
All right, well, let me tell you something.
That seems like a Dan Campbell.
Or Doug Marrone.
I've got a tease for you for the break. So you're like, all right, Hall of Fame game. I pop it on for 5 minutes. I turn it off.
Yeah.
Someone in the booth in the second half. There's someone in the booth in the second half that might make it worth watching. A legend in the booth in the second half. We'll tell you who that is next.
You are looking live at Ohio Stadium in Columbus, Ohio.
You are looking live at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. You are looking live at the Los Angeles Coliseum. You are looking live at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. You are looking live at a sold-out Memorial Stadium in Columbia. You are looking live in the Cavern of Hudson Stadium in Eugene, Oregon. You are looking live at Arizona Stadium in Tucson. You are looking live at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh.
Brent Musburger. 86 years old.
He's 86?
He will be in the booth tonight in the second half. So Musburger is being honored. I want to thank Christian for tweeting this in. I did not know this until just moments ago that Brent Musburger is going to be honored by the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award.
Yeah.
And what that means is they're giving him his flowers. He's going to be there on NBC. He'll do a pregame interview with Maria Taylor. And then in the second half of the game, he will join Tirico and Collinsworth in the booth.
Okay.
Put it on the bet board. Will he drop? You are looking live at Benson Memorial right? Is it Tom Benson Stadium, though, that's called?
That, I believe, is correct. Yeah.
Will he drop? You are looking live at the Hall of Fame game.
I hope so.
I feel like he has to.
That would be awesome. I would if I were Tirico, I would definitely let him get in with that.
So Musburger tonight in the second half, if you want a little dose of the second half. That might be a reason to put it on.
I didn't realize how long ago did he retire? Like being 86.
He didn't really retire.
He's still kind of
– He does stuff for a casino, gambling network, a Las Vegas-based betting network, which he founded.
Okay.
He is active with them.
He also has since he retired from doing like College Football Weekly and whatnot, he has since been calling Las Vegas Raider games on the radio.
All right.
So he's still the play-by-play man for the Raiders on the radio.
That's a pretty good get for the Raiders.
Musburger?
I also, according to awfulannouncing.com, I did not know this about Brent Musburger. He coined the phrase March Madness.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like he should get a cut of that.
He came up with it.
Okay. That's pretty that should be near the top of the bio, I think.
What's your legacy? I just invented the phrase March Madness. You know, he said.
I hope he gets a piece of that.
Honestly, he said it was late one Thursday evening after the opening games. We had a couple of big upsets that late that night out west. I said, "Folks, this is madness. This is March Madness," and that was it. He was also on the original NFL Today broadcasts on CBS, like going way back.
Okay.
So I mean, he's done everything. So Brent Musburger tonight.
Is he on the call for anything Bills that is like really memorable? I'm gonna ask Mike because there's a site that lists who had each game.
Yeah.
Because Musburger is going to do, what, Monday Night Football at one point? So maybe, but the Bills are never on Monday Night Football for a long time. I think I have that right. That he was on, was he on Monday Night Football? Like in the 90s? I'll have to find it. See if there's anything Bills with him.
You know, like, again, he works for a gambling network. Wikipedia.
I mean, he lives in Las Vegas, apparently. He's calling Raider games.
Wikipedia links a story that Musburger told the Sports Illustrated Media podcast. He's always won while betting the length of the Super Bowl national anthem by having his friends attend the rehearsal the day before the game and time it.
Yeah.
Because some people lip sync it, and that's an easy win because that recording is automatic. Look at this. What a legend. I went to the bio to see, like, oh, which Super Bowls did he call? And that nugget is what came up.
Some NFL games. There might not be a long history here. I mean, you're going to go back to CBS, maybe. There might be something with him and the Bills. And, like, he's in CBS from 73 to 90. So maybe there's something there. But
here's one for Yankee fans. He calls the divisional series between the Yankees and the Mariners in 95.
Okay.
That's before you're born?
95.
I'm born
June of 95, so okay, I'm alive.
It's a couple months. Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, where, October 95.
Edgar Martinez, a double that scores Ken Griffey. He's on the call of that. Tons of national championship games. Yep. Tons. And, yeah. All right. He was also in Rocky II.
Okay. As himself?
Yes.
I assume?
He was a reporter. He played the right... Okay. Anyway. All right.
He was not in Happy Gilmore 2, I could tell you that.
Everybody else was.
Vern Lundquist was, again, the play-by-play man. Vern, he was great. He's definitely looking like he's up there. But he was great in it. Instead of, I don't know who his partner was in the first Happy Gilmore, Vern Lundquist. For this movie, I can tell you that Post Malone was his color commentator.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. Because, you know, Happy Gilmore 2, just loading famous people.
You know what we need? I have not seen Happy Gilmore 2 yet. You have.
I
know many that have.
Yeah.
We need to find out who said no thanks to Happy Gilmore 2. Because the number of people that said yes, imagine how many said no.
I have one person that
they
I
were,
think
they
that
were
said
busy.
No.
Who?
I have one person said no because he was referenced in it. And if you think about who was in the movie, I mean, Rory is in it, DeChambeau is in it, Scheffler is in it, Koepka is in it, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Jack Nicklaus is in this movie.
No,
John Daly plays a role in this movie.
Tiger. Did they shoot for Tiger and they didn't get him?
There's a statue of Tiger. They reference Tiger because they talk about Happy being on the tour for years after he beats Shooter McGavin. And... like, there's one joke made of, like, I was the best – like, he's talking to Shooter about how, like, Happy's like, oh, I was the best golfer of the 90s and 2000s, except for Tiger. There's another one where Tiger – there's a statue of Tiger in line with a Happy statue and then a Nicklaus statue. Like, Tiger is the only famous golfer, I feel like, that wasn't in this movie. Mm. And he's referenced. So I kind of want to bet they asked him. And Tiger said, yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
All right.
Which, doesn't that kind of sound like Tiger?
Sure.
He isn't being this nonsense.
He's busy.
You're not taking golf seriously enough with this movie. I think he probably got asked and said no.
803-0550. One other quick thing, big news. You know what? This is appropriate for the Musburger segment. Today is Thursday. There's football on today. It's football season. And I feel like that means we got to do our Thursday three-way parlay. Got to do it. There's no other way.
But now we have four.
There's four of us? There are four of us
there
now.
There are four of us now, though. Doesn't roll off the tongue the same way, the Thursday four-way parlay.
What are we going to do about that?
I think we have to have four. Or how about we do it as three, and if you if you lose, if your leg loses, you're out for the next week. But the problem there is that we're going to have a lot of weeks where I think more than one of us miss. That happened a lot. All right, let me get some lines up. Hall of Fame.
Oh, game. New music. The four-way.
Okay.
The fantastic four-way. So, all right. Jeremy Joe, Josh Owen. We're going to use Underdog here because there are not enough things on the Hall of Fame game. Underdog, you can go higher or lower on a lot of players you've never heard of on their yardage. And I'll start us off.
All right.
You know, you just got to go here with what you like. Jackson Meeks.
Who?
Jackson Meeks. Lions wide receiver Jackson Meeks, former Syracuse product, undrafted. Uh-huh. I want to go higher than 15.5 receiving yards. Shout out Jackson Meeks. He was good. I liked him. Jackson Meeks over 15.5.
That's not a very big number.
No. Have you seen the scores of the last 10 Hall of Fame games?
No, I bet they're low. I mean, I saw the over-under for tonight's 32.5.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is not a pretty game, as you are not surprised to hear. And where are your scores here? Hall of Fame game results. Oh, you pick. Give me your pick. I'll give you the results in a minute.
All right. I will go next. I am going to take Sione Vaki, 26.5 rushing yards. I'm going to go higher, over,
okay,
on that total for him.
Tell Fantasy World
that
like
is a deep fantasy pull there for this guy. He's smaller. He is shifty, which is perfect for the NFL preseason.
Here are the scores of the last, like, 10 preseason games. 21-16, 27-11, 16-3, canceled. 14-10, 17-16, 20-18, canceled. 14-3, 17-13, 24-20, 17-10, canceled. 16-7, 21-18. There's a 30, finally, from the Washington football team. 20-7, 16-10. Like, the last time both teams were in the 20s is 2005. So, you know, plan accordingly.
Wow.
All right. Oh, and Josh, our four-way fantastic parlay.
Fantastic four-way parlay.
Fantastic, yes. Four-way parlay.
It's thematic. There's, you know, the big movies out. I'm going to go with the over on Kai Robichaux, running back for the Lions.
These are all vibes picks.
Yeah, just totally a vibe name pick. I like a name with X on the end of it, so I did it. That's
like it.
That's
over
my
24.5 rushing yards for Kai Robichaux. All right, Josh.
I'm going to round it out with Isaac Tislaw having an over on his receiving yards, 16.5. Just elite name, Tislaw. Come on. He's a wide receiver future train in the making. Come on.
There was some draft hype about him, wasn't there?
A little bit.
Okay, we have one problem.
What's that?
Underdog makes us pick from two different teams.
They do?
Yeah. All right, that's fine, because I was on the fence between two. I'm going to change mine from Vaki to Kamini Vidal, which is basically the same thing but on the Chargers. He is a low-drafted running back, little smaller, shifty.
Going higher on that?
I'm going higher on 22.5 for Kamini Vidal.
All right, I
so
love
just
it.
Shift to Vaki to Vidal.
What's that's this it. Year's punishment? Who's going to have to – there's no Chiefs Christmas movie this year.
The punishment. There's a Bills Christmas movie, and that's not a
Is it
punishment.
The 18-inch putter?
Ooh.
Burn that one.
There you go.
No, hold on a second.
Yep, you got to use an 18-inch putter for a month.
I'm just learning that Underdog doesn't even allow Pick'em in New York State. Folks, it's the preseason for everyone, okay?
That can't be right.
That's right. They currently don't allow Pick'em. Please contact the support team.
You're sure?
Yeah.
I'll call support. I'll get
there
this.
There it is.
There it is. No,
that's a change,
that's,
I think.
That's new.
That is definitely new because I used to love Underdog preseason higher overs.
I learned something today.
Okay.
One thing about Isaac Tislaw, here's a little fun fact for you. Where was he drafted? Fourth round? NFL fourth round draft order.
I thought he went a little later than he was supposed to.
Yes. He's there in the fourth round. Just, you know, whatever you like here, whatever you want.
Third round. No, sorry. Okay. He went third round. He went
third
higher.
Round. Yes. Yeah. Third round. Where in the third round?
70th overall.
70th.
So it's pretty early.
Mm.
Why?
Because I wanted to check to see just a quick thing. He came in for a visit with the Bills. I know that. I know he was on the list of receivers that they brought in for a visit.
Okay.
So anyway. Yes, he goes 70th.
Yeah.
Two picks later, the Bills go Landon Jackson.
Yeah, he got an invite for a top 30 visit, according to Jordan Schultz, in April.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. I'm just listing a certain number of true facts. Where he got picked, order of pick, did come in for a visit.
Yeah.
Two picks ahead. The Bills did. Yeah, anyway. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe. We'll get to Bills special teams coordinator Chris Tabor coming up at 9:15. And Steve Tasker is going to pop by at 9:30 as well as we continue coverage from St. John Fisher here on WGR.
Want an update from New England practice?
Yes. Is it
or
that,
training camp?
Is it that Mac Hollins has convinced Stephon Diggs to go shoeless? Because I saw that.
It is not that, but
the Patriots are the latest team to jump into the shoeless routine.
Yeah. Not stunning. So Diggs' camp so far is he's taking the shoes off, and he's also been chasing puppies around.
Yes.
The update that I'm reading from Chad Graff, The Athletic, that isn't short. The offense has been inconsistent. The offensive line looks shaky. Drake May's accuracy has been an issue also, and there's been too many botched snaps between May and his centers.
Ah, all right.
So some inconsistency for the Patriots offense.
Benjamin Solek was just at Patriots camp yesterday. No, recent. Okay, I thought you were. Why did I think you were? Anyway, all right. You're going to sit down. He's here. Hi. How are you? Hold on. I don't know what Joe. Which one are you doing?
Blue one.
Blue. Hi.
Hi.
Blue
one. Y'all got me. Y'all
we got there you. We got is. You. We've got Bill's special teams coordinator Chris Tabor coming up at 9:15. So we'll get a break in, and if you got a few minutes, to sit with us. We'll chat with you here at Bill's camp.
Let's do it.
All right. Very good. Benjamin Solek of ESPN coming up in just a moment here. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from St. John Fisher on WGR.